Hi, my name is Autumn Dixon, and this week is March 11th through the 17th of the Come Follow Me program associated with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're studying the Book of Mormon this year in 2024. So, one of the topics that the Come Follow Me manual recommends is to study the tactics of Satan. Now, I feel like leading up to this particular post with me writing and filming, I feel like Heavenly Father has kind of been leading me along and teaching me very specifically about one of Satan's tactics. And so I felt very prepared when I actually came across this verse. So this is 2 Nephi chapter 28, and it's verse 20. It says, "For behold, at that day shall he," Satan, "rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good." So when you originally read this verse, at least what I did, I mostly thought of two things, namely that people would be getting angry with each other, or that people would be angry with the church, to be angry against that which is good, right? But recently, as I've been pondering this, what I was actually thinking about was the fact that Satan really likes to mix our doubts with anger, right? It's not enough to just experience doubt. He likes to mix frustration and anger in with it. Now, doubts happen, right? Even Joseph Smith said that we have to be ready to contemplate the deepest or darkest, can't remember the exact word, abyss, in order to comprehend salvation, right? You can't have faith without doubt, right? You can't have faith in something if there is no reason to doubt it. Doubts happen, but Satan wins a huge victory when he can mix those doubts with anger or frustration, when he can rage in the hearts of men, right? Now, I have a child right now who is going through a bit of a phase. Now, there have been a lot of stressors in our family life recently. There's been a lot of moves. My husband is gone very, very, very frequently for work. This child is just starting up school. There's been a lot of upheaval. Recently I had a baby, all that good stuff. So lots of upheaval in our life right now. And she is a child after my own heart, which means she loves routine and order and knowing what's coming next, all those good things. So this has been kind of a curveball for her, all of this newness in her life. Needless to say, she has lost her mind at me a couple of times, just absolutely falling apart, the whole shebang. So kicking and screaming and fighting and throwing things and slamming doors, all of the greatest stuff ever, right? Now, there's usually two sentiments that she has really latched onto recently that she likes to throw at me when she's in the midst of a tantrum. Namely, that I hate her, or that I am not treating her like she's part of the family. Now, most of the time, it is not always, but most of the time, I feel like it's very easy for me to take a step back and to recognize that my discipline or my decisions regarding her are actually because I love her a lot and because I want her to be part of a functioning, healthy family, right? It can be very easy for me to see that. But her in her young age, it can be really difficult for her to understand that. And her feelings are extremely real when she wonders if I hate her or if I'm not treating her like the rest of the family. That's very real to her, regardless of whether I can see the truth of the situation. Unfortunately, when I try to explain this to her, when she's in the middle of her frustration and anger, it doesn't work very well. When I'm like trying to hold her and coax her and explain why I'm making specific decisions or explain why she's being disciplined, it doesn't do any good. Totally, she can't hear it over all of the big feelings that she is experiencing, and so she just draws her own conclusions according to these feelings that she's having. Later on, when she's feeling a little bit better, the conversation tends to go a lot more smoothly. I'm able to explain myself, or in the very least, reassure her how much I love her and that when I'm making decisions about her, it's because of how much I absolutely love and adore her. So this example is not a perfect similitude of what I'm trying to teach here, but it does teach the principle a little bit. So let me give another example. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been times in my life where I have struggled with certain aspects of the gospel, of the church, whatever it might be. And there have been times when I have felt very dark, especially when something gets posted on social media or when I have a friend leave the church, right? There have been times when it has felt very dark. And it is very easy to feel like the only way to escape that darkness is to leave, is to stand up and get angry and demand better, right? Versus just allowing that darkness to remain and allowing yourself to feel hurt or lesser or whatever might be coming from these doubts. Interestingly enough, Satan is on both ends of that spectrum. So when you're sitting down in the dark and you're having your doubts and you're feeling worthless, Satan is right there whispering to you that you are. Heavenly Father would never have you remain in that darkness. And as he attempts to lift you and to enlighten you that you deserve better than darkness, Satan is right there too. And instead, he switches tactics, though. Instead of whispering that you're nothing, he's whispering that you should be angry. You never should have been in the darkness. You never deserve that. How dare you have to sit in the darkness, right? And he wants you to get angry about it. Now, whether or not we should be continuously protected from any kind of dark feelings is a conversation for another day. What I really want to focus on for this post is why Satan would be trying to mix that anger with those doubts. Now, it's easy to say that we should let go of our anger when we have doubts. It's easy to say that, much harder to accomplish. But if there is any goal that I have in writing a blog or filming a YouTube channel or doing a podcast, if there's any goal that I have, it is to highlight the necessity of having a relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. I feel like I hit this one every time because that is the most important thing that I feel like I can testify of, is having a relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. When you have that relationship with him, there's no need to force or contort or squash yourself or any doubts that you have into something that they're not, right? Rather, you approach him with a knowledge of who he is, approaching him very specifically with a knowledge of who he actually is, not something you've concocted in your mind off of your experiences with other people, but approaching him with the understanding of who he is. I want you to imagine the power of my daughter being able to come to me and being like, "Mom, I don't get why you're doing this. And I don't understand why you're making this decision. This is making me upset. Can you help me understand this?" Right? And I don't expect this of her. She's extremely young, and I have not even figured out how to do that perfectly with my own Heavenly Father. So, but I do want you to imagine the power of what that would be, right? She comes to me and she's like, "Mom, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I feel like you're treating my siblings differently than me." And I would be able to reassure her and tell her that I love her. I would be able to explain myself. She's young, so sometimes the principles might go over her head, but I would be able to reassure her how much she matters and that the decisions I'm making are because I love her and because they are going to make her a glorious human being. That would be much harder to do if I was a stranger. Let's imagine that a stranger comes by and starts treating her differently than her siblings. If she were to go to the stranger and be like, "You're treating me different," and the stranger was like, "Oh, I'm doing it for your good," right? How easily would she be able to trust that? She wouldn't. But if I can prove myself to be a loving mother and I can continuously reassure her of my love and continuously try to do what's best for her, when she comes to me and doesn't understand something, she will still trust that I love her and I'm doing what's best for her. I want you to think about how often you have testimony moments of your Savior Jesus Christ. And I want you to take that frequency and I want you to apply it to a regular relationship that you have with someone here on earth. If I saw a stranger doing a couple of good things now and again, I would probably form a good opinion of that stranger. But it would probably do very little to change and bless my life. It is only in a relationship with our Savior that we are able to experience the love and the power on a frequent enough basis that all of the doubts and honestly, any problem that you're facing in life, it is only in that personal relationship, in that consistency that you're able to be changed. It is only in continuously turning to your Savior and experiencing that love that your doubts become insignificant, right? It is really difficult to develop that relationship. It's hard enough to develop a regular relationship with a person, but developing it with the Savior and with our Heavenly Father can be very difficult. It takes a lot of spiritual effort to develop a continuous relationship, not just gaining testimony moments, but developing a personal relationship with Him. And it's especially difficult in a world that delivers immediate gratification with no effort. It is difficult to set aside those things and invest in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. But it is so important. It is so worth it. Satan has no competition when you have that relationship with your Heavenly Father and you are continuously turning to Him. Satan can't hold a candle to it. Teach your children to invest in that relationship with Him so that when the storms come, they feel insignificant, or your children understand that those storms are just going to make them more awesome. I testify of heavenly parents, of a Savior who have the ability to fulfill all the promises that they've made to us. I testify of a Savior who sees everything and has far more perspective than we do. I testify of a Savior who can take all of our perceived or very real injustices in our life, and He takes all of that and He utilizes it to make us absolutely glorious and amazing. I testify of a day when we get to the other side and all of it will make sense. And I testify that if we can shed our anger, we will find all the healing and validation that we are so desperately seeking. If we can turn to our Savior, instead of trying to find comfort in anger, if we can turn to our Savior, He will give us everything we need. And eventually, those doubts will be resolved. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.